morning, everyone, and welcome whether you walked, drove, or swam here this morning. It's nice to see you. We're going to read in John's Gospel, chapter number 8. We're almost 40% of the way through the book. It's only taken 6 years, so we're getting there. John 8, verse number 31. I'll take it from verse 30 for connection. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man." Ha! That is incredible. That's an incredible statement. Babylon and all the rest is completely forgotten. Never in bondage to any man. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abram is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abram's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then say they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me, senses, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast the devil?" Jesus answered, "I am not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never," Luke 10, "he shall never, never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou art the devil. Abram is dead, and the prophet. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's ask God's blessing on the reading of the Word of God. We thank thee, our Father, for this incredible little discussion that takes place between the Jews and the Lord Jesus. And we ask as we just consider these verses this morning, and we consider the massive claims of Christ, that thou wouldst open each heart and each mind to the truth of God. We thank thee for the liberty that we have in this country to teach the word of God. And we ask it may long be vouchsafed to us. And we ask our God that in the teaching of the word this morning, thou wouldst open it up by the power of thy spirit. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Last week and the week before, it was pretty easy to preach the gospel from the passage that I was talking about. You know, sometimes you get to passages when you're doing a verse by verse study through a book, which seem quite complicated. And what I thought I would do this morning is just try and break this passage down into easily digestible portions within the half an hour or so that we're going to be together. I want to suggest to you that this passage really breaks out into six occasions when the Jews spoke to the Lord, objecting to his claim. And if you look at it, I'll give you the key term. In verse number 35, they answered him. In verse number 39, they answered and said unto him. Verse number 41, halfway through the verse there, then said they to him. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him. And then again in verse number 57, then said the Jews unto him. So six times over, the Jews speak to the Lord Jesus, objecting to his claims. They object, first of all, to his claim of inheritance, and then to his claim of kinsmanship, and then to the claim of religious privilege. And then they enter into judgment on the Lord's character, on his authority, and on his implied divine nature. So those are the six themes that we're going to look about during the time at our disposal. Let's look first of all then at verses 31 through 36. And what we're talking here is about the Jews' claim of inheritance. In verses 31 and 32, the Lord offers freedom. He offers freedom through the knowledge of the truth. And the key verse there is verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And you'll have noticed in the reading, I'm sure, that verses 31 to 36 are full of truth and freedom. For it's truth that truly makes free. As we were saying 2 weeks ago, it's true truth that truly makes really free. Those of you who've been coming through Galatians with us know that we've broken that epistle down as the epistle of liberty. That in Christ, there's no bondage. There's perfect freedom. Absolute perfect liberty. The Greek word is eleutheria. Freedom that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the Lord himself promising freedom through the knowledge of the truth. Now other parts of the New Testament make clear that people who are not religious, who are not Christians, offer freedom. Peter says in his second epistle, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. So what the apostle is saying is that there is a philosophy, there is a point of view that will offer liberty, but really it has the effect of bringing you into bondage, because sin is that sort of thing. Sin brings you into bondage. The apostle speaks of it in his great chapter in Romans chapter 6. He says then, speaking to Christians, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to lawlessness, and to lawlessness, even so now yield your members. That's the key to Romans 6, of course, three words. Know, reckon, yield. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you are free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For death is the wages of sin, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what the apostle is saying in Romans 6 is, before we became Christians, we may have thought that we were free people. But actually, we were in bondage. And we were in bondage on account of sin. But when Jesus Christ comes in, he makes us free through faith in him. And the Jews come back and they say in verse 33, but we are free. We be Abraham's seed, verse 33. We be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. What the troops of Rome roamed the highways and byways of the land of Palestine. We were never in bondage to any man. Talk about not being able to see the hair on your face, eh? But the Lord comes back and says, but spiritually, you're not free because you're the slaves of sin. It's only the Son who can make you free. And it's true today. We may consider ourselves to be free men and free women. But as long as we're held in bondage under sin, what the Bible says of whom a person is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. And free people are nevertheless in bondage on account of sin. But it's Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, who offers freedom in the gospel. And it's only by accepting him as Savior that human beings can actually have freedom and liberty in Christ. And it comes by way of true truth. Then the Lord goes on to talk about the Jews' claims of kinsmanship in verses 37 down to the first part of verse 41. What we've got here is the truth that's writ large in the New Testament. What they're arguing here is, you know, Abraham is our father. And because Abraham's our father, we're alright. Doesn't really matter anything else, nothing else really matters at all. We be the seed of Abraham. Romans chapter 9. And verses 6 to 8 says this. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. Accounted for the seed. We'll be talking a bit more about that tonight in Galatians chapter 3. But the essence of it here is that descent does not mean spiritual likeness. You're not spiritual because of a bloodline that goes back to Abraham. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You see, these people prided themselves in their blood link with our father Abraham. But what the Lord Jesus is teaching here, the truth that's further exemplified for us in Galatians, and then again in Rome, is that it doesn't matter at all. Because it's not of blood. We found that back in John chapter 1. No matter what the noble, great, and wise bloods that have made up the descent of a human being, it's nothing as far as God is concerned. We hear a lot of rubbish these days about the nation of Israel. As if the nation of Israel, because they're simply Israelites, can't do anything wrong. And it's not true. Not true at all. Because they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. And you've got to bear in mind that although the nation of Israel is in a very real sense beloved of God and his chosen earthly people. It doesn't mean that political Israel is the Israel of God. Not at all. Because it ain't like that in the things of God. It's not like that at all. And what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here is, if you were really Abram's children, you would do the works of Abram. Now, what was Abram marked by? Well, as we saw on Wednesday night, he was marked by faith, and he was marked by faithfulness. Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. How is a man or a woman made righteous? Well, because God says he is. Because God says she is. And that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. It has to do with the exercise of faith by the grace of God. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what the Lord Jesus is saying here is, you know, spiritual descent isn't in the blood. Now, I never had, and I say this sincerely, I never had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. But I did have the privilege of being brought up in a non-Christian home. Or what do you mean? I mean this. That very often, for people who are brought up within a Christian environment, there are not the clarity of issues that there sometimes might be. And I've seen Christian families where people are pressured to make a decision for Christ, which is not a New Testament term in any sense, to make a decision for Christ by the time they're 12 or 13 or whatever it may be, or be baptized. You know, you should be inside. As though the spiritual descent was in the blood. It's not. And children from Christian homes, although they're set apart in a sense because of their parents' faith, they nevertheless need to be saved in exactly the same way as anyone else. And there may be many people here today who've had the privilege of being brought up within a Christian environment. But being brought up in a Christian environment doesn't bring you to salvation. It simply doesn't. There has to be the personal exercise of faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by blood. It's by his blood. It's not by flesh, it's by spirit. It's not by environment, it's by faith. And kinsmanship, as the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here, simply because you can trace your descent back to Abraham, that doesn't mean you're right in the sight of God. And simply because many of you may have had the privilege of a Christian home, it doesn't mean that thereby you're right in the sight of God. There has to be that personal exercise of faith in Christ for us to be saved. So the Lord rejects the Jews' claims of inheritance, and he rejects the Jews' claims of kinsmanship. And in verses 41 to 47, he rejects the Jews' claim of religious privilege. You get the barb, don't you, in verse 41, the second part of verse 41. Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication." Who was your father, Jesus? Therefore. And they're sort of taking the moral high ground. You know, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they've moved away now. They've lost a bit on kinsmanship, that Abraham's their father. They're going one better. They say now God's their father. And the Lord Jesus says basically, God's your father? You're of your father. And Abraham may be your natural father, but God's not your spiritual father. He said in verse number 42, if God were your father, you would love me. Verse 44, you are of your father, and that father is the devil. Now this is religious Judaism. This is the best of the Jewish religion. And the Lord Jesus says to them basically, your father is the devil. And because your father is the devil, you're hostile to the truth. Now, religious people are not necessarily the children of God. You can be religious without being saved. You can even be in fellowship in a brethren assembly without being saved. Because being baptized and coming to meetings and taking the emblem doesn't bestow Christianity. It's through faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of sin and accepting Him as Savior that one is saved and it has a spiritual relationship with God. And whether you're 5 or 50 or 100 today and you've been coming past the Shirley House for many years, if there's never been a moment in your life experience when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not saved. You're not saved. And you need to do something, despite everything, despite all appearances, to do something about it and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. He says in verse 13, there's two ifs there. Verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 42, if God be your father, you would love me. He says you aren't doing the works of Abraham. There's no faith and there's no faithfulness there. And you're not loving me to show that God's your father. There's no faith, there's no faithfulness, there's no love. He speaks in verse 38 of your father. He says you are of your father. I'm sorry, I first thought, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Then in verse 44 he comes to it and he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. The father of murder, the father of lies, is the devil himself. And Jesus says to these religious people, the devil's your father. He's a murderer, he's a liar, and there's no truth in him. And he ends up by saying in verse number 48, 47, at the end of the verse, you are not of God. Now you may be religious. You can tell they're religious, and they got all the clothes off. And they got the little things hanging from their heads so they can see the scriptures in front of them. And they got the scriptures written on the doors of their houses. They're fundamentalist Jews, but they're not saved. They're not saved because Jesus says, you may trace your natural descent from Abraham, but you're not God's children. You're the devil's children. You come from the devil. That's your spiritual heritage. And that's why you have murder in your heart. And you see that in the very last verse of the chapter. They took up stones to cast him. You have murder in your heart. And you have lies in your heart. Because the character of the devil is that he's a murderer and a liar. And the very first murder upon earth, Cain, is linked in John's first epistle back to the devil. A murderer and a liar. Now the Jews aren't doing too well here. The Lord Jesus has rejected their claims of inheritance. He's rejected their claims of kinsmanship. And finally, he's rejected their claim of religious privilege. He says, you're not the children of God. Now if I came into Shirley Heights this morning and said, you're not the children of God. Most of you, if not all of you here this morning, would be able to say, you know I am. There was a moment in my experience when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. I can take you to the patch of God's earth where I bowed on my knees in repentance today and accepted Him as my own. And some of us can even give you a date. 15th of July 1958. When we passed from death to life. For others, it's a date sometime in the past. But the reality of the experience is there. We are of our Father God, not the children of the devil. So the Jews come back now, and in verses 48 through 50, and then onwards, they pass judgment. They pass judgment on the Lord's character, on the Lord's authority, and then on the Lord's implied human and divine nature. They're losing the battle, and this wandering rabbi the teacher from Nazareth is stripping away all the outward show, all the religious paraphernalia with which they're associated, and he's leaving them naked before the eye of him with whom they have to do as the children of the devil, with murder and lies in their heart, completely unsaved. Religious, but unsaved. Now he said, verses 48 through 50, they pass judgment on the Lord's character. They say, you're mad, not a demon, and you're a Samaritan. Now where that came from, I just can't think, because they hated the Samaritans. So now they've got him as a Samaritan and as mad. And the Lord Jesus says, you know, it's not like this. I don't have a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. What the Lord Jesus is saying is that far from being mad, I honor my Father, and I seek his glory. So in verses 51 through 56, they then come on to judgment on the Lord's authority. You remember chapter 3 and got a wrong reference there. Chapter 4, I think it should be, verse number 21, where the woman says, I've lost the verse, I've got a wrong reference, so. It'll come, it's in chapter 4, after greater death. It's chapter 4, verse 12, not chapter 3, verse 21, but there we are. That's what happens sometimes when you get to my age. You put the wrong reference down. Chapter 4, verse 12. The Samaritan woman says, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Well, of course he was. And in this chapter, the Jews say in verse number 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? There's two wrong references, I don't have that. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Faced with the irreligious Samaritan in chapter 4, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Faced with the religious Jews in chapter 8, art thou greater than our father Abraham? And of course the answer is yes! He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham, and he's greater than Jonah, and he's greater than all the prophets, and he's greater than all the accumulated virtues of all the saints down all the ages. He's the Son of the Eternal Father. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Yes! He says, basically, I can keep a man from seeing death. Verse number 52. If a man keep my word, he shall never, never taste of death. Now that was impossible under the old economy, because man in his innocence and woman in her innocence, they sinned and fell and tasted death. But Jesus says, if a man keeps my word, he shall never, never taste of death. Now, of course, all people die. All people die. It's the way of our race. Death is the wages of sin. And because we're all sinners, we all die. But what Jesus is talking about here is that spiritual death. He's talking in spiritual terms. And he says he will never, never die. Christians die once. The unsaved die twice. They die physically and they die spiritually. They're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But the Lord Jesus says, I can keep a man from seeing death. Why? Because I'm honored by God. I know God. And verse number 56, I am greater than Abraham. Your father Abraham? And he's throwing back their own words at them. He rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. I'm greater than Abraham, he says. And there was no nobler, greater, more spiritually significant figure in Israel's history than Abraham. And Jesus says, I'm greater than Abraham. I can keep a man from seeing death.
And he's still the same Jesus. And he can still save us from that second death. He can still save us from eternal judgment. We were talking last night at a school function with three or four of my senior administrators about faith and about evolution. And I ventured that, you know, to believe that I came from a tadpole was a greater act of faith than believing in the true God. And people out there are willing to put their faith into all sorts of ridiculous assumptions when there is a Jesus here who, if we put our faith in him, will forgive us our sins, save us from eternal death and judgment, and give us eternal life. And we Christians don't understand why people don't see it the same way as we do. Until we understand it, that has all to do with their father, the devil. Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. He's actually closed down the minds of the ungodly. That they don't see the light of the gospel of the glory of God in any way. And then finally, the final judgment that the Jews make is on the Lord's implied divine nature. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. I've often wondered about this verse. I guess the Lord was in his early 30s at this time. And they say, you're not yet 50 years old. Could it be that the light he led had aged him in a sense? He looked at somebody in his late 40s. I don't know. Pretty old, of course, but then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And a spouse in Abraham? And then Jesus says to him in verse number 58, and the third time in this text he says, amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly, he says to them, before Abraham was, I, not was, before Abraham was, I am. Now whatever you and I may make of that, I know what the Jews made of it, because the term I am was a divine title. It was the term, for example, that was used by God at the time of the burning bush, when he sent Moses to be the leader of his people. Who shall I say sent me? Say, I am sent you. And God describes himself as I am that I am. And in the New Testament, very often the Lord Jesus Christ uses the present tense. He doesn't say, I was. He says, I am. And this is what he does here. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews understood exactly what he was claiming, which was his divine nature. He was claiming to be what he truly was, God manifest in flesh. So what did they do? They took up stones to cast at him. But his Savior then moved away from the crowd that would kill him to the one who would deceive him in chapter 9. And it's utterly remarkable in John's Gospel that the religious leaders amongst the people, they won't accept him. They depend upon their religion. They question his authority in every way. They question his character. They question his divine nature. Everything about him is questioned while they stand in their religious hypocrisy as though they were the chosen people of God. And they were the chosen people of God. Because, let me reiterate, faith doesn't come through natural bloodline. Your great-grandparents could have been believers, your grandparents could have been believers, your parents could have been believers, and your children could be believers. Doesn't make you a believer. Unless there's been the exercise of faith in Jesus Christ. And what do people, religious people do? They question the authority of the Savior. Well, yes, Jesus was a good man, but you can't really say that he was divine, can you? That's what he claimed to be in this chapter. And basically my message this morning is this. That if you're here this morning, however religious, and there's never been a moment in your life when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you have a lot of thinking to do. And if you're here and you're not religious, and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you also have a lot of thinking to do. The six little vignettes with the Savior and the Jews are full of importance for us. But teach us this. A religion, a natural descent in the things of God, counts not a faith if we have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the verses that we've read together today. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord's ability to be able to strip away every claim of the Jews to inheritance and religious privilege and everything else, and to say to them, as you stand, you're of your father the devil. There's murder, hatred, and lies in your heart. And to then resist the claim against his character and against his mission and against his divine nature. And we ask our Father, if there are people here this morning who just sort of drifted into spiritual things and have never had a real saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, that Father, they may be called to reflect upon their career towards the pit and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask it in his presence.